Hi guys, and welcome to today's podcast /video/training or knowledge bomb exercise. And I'm joined by Mr. Paul, and you've got an S in there, Hogden.
Yes.
The S is new. What is S for?
Well, that's my middle name. S for Stephen.
Stephen. Yeah. I think there was some cool joke going on there. Or you were trying to be like Brad Mabry, just be Rad, or you know, doing some work. But
full name.
So we're joined by Paul Hogden for the second time. You'll also see Paul as a regular in the live chat on some of the shows. So today we are going to be talking a bit about what Paul does, a bit about the benefits of what he does, and also just to allow other people the opportunity to see what Paul does and maybe, you know, potentially utilize him. And I'll tell you why. So someone like me, I've got a website, looks okay. I know hand in heart it could be better. And we all know every single one of our websites can be better. But yep. I had a chap, Gareth Dane, I'm just going to throw him under the bus, who said, Craig, some of the buttons in your website look as if they were made in the 1970s. And sorry to my video editor who actually made those buttons, but she's not a button designer. she had those buttons, so I apologise to her. She will be editing this. but your buttons were all right, but that Gareth Dane said something from the 70s, and it kind of niggled at me. So Gareth said this like 4 or 5 months ago, and you know that way, you know it niggles at you, but there's just something at the back of your brain going, I need those buttons changed, and then something else comes up and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Now, someone like me, I'm absolute garbage at designing things and creative ideas and stuff like that, and I'm also scared to let people touch my website. You know what it's like, and I'll give you a couple of horror stories. You're nodding your head, but like I've got a guy before, you know, I wanted something added or whatever, and the dude fucking went full steam ahead and done things that I never even asked for. And he's like, oh, I thought I'd do this and I thought I'd do that, and I'm like, stuff just didn't work, and I'm like, Jesus, never again. So you know, I'm quite protective over my website. And you know, it's trying to find a guy that you can talk to in a level and say, Paul, I know my buttons look shit. I don't want my pants pulled down and to, you know, be shafted and told that buttons take, you know, 3 weeks to add, because we all know that that's not the case. And, you know, that's the other fear, because there's a lot of people who just take the piss. I know what a button is. I could make a button myself, although it would look like something from the 60s and not the 70s. we need guys that we can just go to and say, Paul, this is what I want. Can you do it? You know, blah, 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 blah. And it's done at a fair price. You know, we all know that you've got to be paid for your time and all that stuff. But that is where Paul comes in. Now, if you look at my own website, there was certain buttons in the website, certain things that just didn't look right. And I've got Paul to do what would probably not be considered web design, because he didn't design the site, but more CRO. Would that be the right word for it, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's one of the different aspects of CRO, yeah.
And obviously we're not doing major CRO as such, because it's more of an informational website. But the point being is every website can be improved, and we do need better buttons, a better look and feel, but also CRO, you know, the position of these buttons, what impact do these buttons make in your website, and all of that good stuff. So we're going to be talking to Paul about the CRO process, what Paul does. Obviously, I think we introduced you, Paul, before. We told you had your agency, and, you know, your skills are... I would say your skills are obviously in the design side, but obviously you do the full digital marketing thing. But I think, you know, you're very good. And I think we audited your own website once, and we're just like, me and Itamar on one of the shows, and we're like, it's going to be quite hard to rip into this guy for some crap design. It looked really good. You know, and you know, just simple concise, you know, nothing flashy, just good quality. And I think what I want to emphasize to people is it's not that easy to get good quality, simple guys who don't value their time as high as maybe some of those lesser skilled guys. Paul is that man where he doesn't, you know, charge, you know, the kind of London rates or whatever, but he obviously does charge and charges a fair price, does it quickly, and you can work with him on CRO. So we want to talk a bit more about CRO, Paul. That is why we're here. So for anyone who's just like, what the bloody hell is CRO? Can you just give us a bit of what you would give that in layman's terms?
Yeah. So CRO is conversion rate optimization. The thing is with conversion rate optimization is it sounds quite poncy, but what it actually means is getting more value out of the traffic that you've already got. So maximizing those visitors who sort of seem to pass by but don't ever make the commitment to whatever it is, be it buy something from your shop, be it click and join a mailing list, whatever it is, they're not doing it. Now, Shopify, as an example of a platform, their average conversion rate, I think 1.85%, something like that, which isn't a lot at the best of times. And you know, most businesses on Shopify aren't even getting 1.85%, which is quite staggering. A good conversion is around about sort of 5%+. 5 to 8% is, you know, really, really good. But so you've got a whole bunch of people out there who have built sites because we're all told, you know, in the affiliate marketing sort of sector, we're told to just get it out there, get the content out there, and everything else will kind of take it, you know, will kind of take over from there. The numbers will find you because if you've written good quality SEO friendly content, you'll get found. But the fact of the matter is that when all's said and done and you are getting the volume through, there may be potentially traffic that is going past you that could be yours. And that's what CRO does in a nutshell, is it looks at it, it finds it, and then it gives actionable things to do to improve it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's for me, a lot of mistakes with a lot of people with websites is they get a website built and they hope it pulls in all this money. You know, just from having a website, nothing to do with marketing or SEO. But obviously you can SEO the crap out of a website, get good stuff, and it still doesn't work that well. Just like, oh, what's going on? And, you know, I'd like to understand how people like you think when it comes to CRO. You know, when you look at a website like mine and I come, you know, what are you analysing? What are you, I mean, obviously when I came to you, you know, I said like, I'm not happy with this and I'm not happy with that. But typically, you know, if someone comes to you with a website, what are you looking at initially?
Yeah, well, that's a really great question because it actually all hinges on data. So it doesn't matter what you think as the owner of the website or what I think as the person coming in to consult. It's actually what the data says. So we can base it on cold, hard fact, not conjecture and hypothesis. You know, there's time for hypothesis as to what the remedies might be in time to come. But finding out what the problems are the key to resolving what, you know, the issues in their entirety. So obviously things like Google Analytics are key. Most people don't have Google Tag Manager set up on their websites. Now, Google Tag Manager adds extra dimensions to Google Analytics because when they're set up and partnered, you can start tracking what keys, what buttons are being pressed, what hyperlinks are being clicked, and you can start seeing where holes are appearing that people aren't actually using any of those things, and you can start to look to see how they can be addressed. But generally, you get a complaint of, my site isn't getting business, you know, and that's such an overarching view that actually it doesn't help anybody because there will be some very, very specific things that can be measured and improved to address that.
So tell me this, Paul. Now, we've all seen this. we've all had a competitor with a real shitty looking website that converts like hell. Now, I'd love to know what you think of that, because obviously, as a designer, you're going to say, oh, design is good. And of course it is. You know, a nice, pretty looking website is going to get more attention than, you know, something, you know, from you know, 10 years ago or whatever. But there's something to be said that some of these older websites still convert really well. What is going on with that? Like, do you think it's just because they're simple, to the point, that's why they convert? Or because it's all well coming in saying we do CRM, we've got all these fancy buttons, and you know, you look at all this other crap, and you know, people say, well, this absolute piece of shit is ranking like hell. How is that? Like, why?
Yeah.
Have you analyzed websites like that before?
Yeah, I have. And actually, I even had a customer come on and say, I want you to bin off the website that I currently have, and I want you to make one, by and large, that looks like theirs, and cited me a competitor's site. And it was built to the spec, and it bombed. Absolute nothing. Nothing at all. Now, the thing is that familiarity does have a lot to do with it. So people like familiarity with new content, I'd sort of hasten to add, because if it stays the same, nobody's interested in that. But familiarity, speed is another thing. If it's an old website, actually one of the things about a lot of old websites is they do tend to be quite quick because they haven't got as much bloatware in it, you know, all of the scripting and stuff like that. So some of the time it's nothing at all to do with how it looks. It's more to do with how it functions. So sometimes older sites can be viewed on older browsers, for example. Yeah. You know, we all know that, you know, Internet Explorer 9 is, you know, died when the Dead Sea was still poorly. You know, but on older sites, it will still work. Yeah. So is it down to the fact that perhaps there are a bunch of people out there with old, you know, Windows XP machines that are still running old browsers and happen to be the target demographic of that particular business? So it could be a whole host of things, but sometimes what on face value looks ridiculous and you think, well, you know, and I've found it myself, you know, when I've redesigned my own sites, you know, you sit there and you look and you see your competition who appear to be absolutely acing it. And you think, well, there's nothing special about any of that. And I could knock them into a cocked hat, and you make the best site that you possibly can, and it still isn't doing it. And maybe it could be a call to action. You know, maybe people are being over clever or not clever enough and not putting anything down, you know, hoping that people kind of assume that they know. So there's lots of different things that it could be that on face value seems like, oh yeah, but that's just a knackered old site that, you know, shouldn't be getting any traffic, but it does because of all those reasons, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to, that kind of leads on to the next thing I was going to ask you. I think, you know, previously we had all the HTML websites, which of course still load fast and stuff if you've still got them. Yeah. And then came around and we've got all these kind of drag and drop functions and everything else. But when I look at other people's websites, now I'm not going to, you know, sit there and say I want to copy this, but I had a look at Neil Patel's website and it's kind of flipped back where if you look at it, you're just like, it's quite plain, minimalistic. There's not a whole lot of flash or, you know, stuff going on. It's just very plain, very simple. I'm not saying it's a fear, but I just think the thing's going the full circle where it's now going back to less flash and more simplistic. Is that kind of a fair assessment? Because obviously I'm not doing it. I don't see the level of data you do. Don't analyze websites the same way that you do. But would that be a fair assumption to say we probably have been over clever for the last 5 years with stuff and, you know, trying to, you know, big pop-ups and flash and all this stuff coming out at you, and it's now going simplistic?
I think that you're onto something there. I believe that simple is always best. At the end of the day, the more simpler a site is, the clearer the messaging is. What we tend to do is we tend to muddy the waters with so many different messages, and aren't we clever? We've got a video running in the background, and, you know, oh, here's a pop-up now, you know, sign up for this, do that. And you're going, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to donate a kidney. Just, you know, and you just end up just being completely bamboozled. And we get exposed enough to advertising. You know, apparently the average person gets exposed to over 1,500 marketing messages a day as they go about their business nowadays, whereas it used to be you know a couple of hundred. So we've now got to a point, I think, where it's become overly saturated. So I think people have realized, first of all, speed plays a massive part, and especially on mobile devices. So if you're an e-commerce store or an affiliate whose user base is mobile centric, the speed of that, you know, needs to be super lightning quick, because people want to get the information fast. And if they don't get the information fast, guess what? They'll go to one of the other 10 sites that do.
Yeah.
And people are very, very fickle. Visitors are really fickle. If they don't get that dopamine being released in their mind as quickly as they want it, then they will move on to the next big fix, because that's what it's all about. It's about making sure that your messaging is clear and concise, and don't consider that the message is so obvious that you shouldn't put it on there. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of people miss, you know, click here to check out. You know, they just assume that the checkout in the top right hand corner is enough, but actually putting a message that says, okay, you've added it to cart, thank you very much, now click here to check out, you'd be surprised at a difference that would make. And yet, if you look at most e-commerce stores, it doesn't say anything at all about checking out.
Yeah. No, I think you make a good point there. I think, obviously, us as guys that work on websites or design websites or whatever, probably assume that everyone's got the same computer literacy as us. You're not realizing that there maybe are, you know, an older generation out there who, you know, can't see that well and, you know, just need, you know, probably flashing arrows, if you like, come here, pay. And I think that's something we also probably fail on. You know, we just assume that everyone has those literacy skills. But as you see, prior to one thing that also I think is quite important, and I'm going to say that this happened, prior to coming on to this today, the last thing I'd done other than eat my sandwich and coming on here was going through the browser notifications on my desktop, because literally I'm getting pinged all day every day, and I don't even remember signing up to half of this stuff. That's the truth. So we are being inundated with offers and stuff like that, and it's now becoming a pain in the ass, if I'm being honest personally.
Well, you tend to stop looking at it, Craig. That's the problem, is you just become completely desensitized to it. So the messages get lost entirely. And what worked perhaps 12 months ago perhaps isn't working quite as well now, because people are going, look, I just want a bit of quiet. I just want, you know, just want a bit of, you know, peace in my mind. And I don't want to keep getting pinged and dinged and offers thrown up on this website. I just want to have a look round and I want to have an experience, and if I like it, I'll buy it. But a lot of the time we overcomplicate, as web designers, we overcomplicate the whole thing. Or worse than that, as business owners, we overcomplicate it and tell the web designer to put all of these things in, because we've heard once that, you know, having a contact form on the bottom of every single page is what everyone should do. When, of course, nowadays we know that contact forms are so rarely filled in because people are so scared about giving their data away and GDPR, you know. So what do you do? I've found that good old-fashioned email address at the bottom and say, click here if you want to talk to me, is kind of the safest thing at the moment to do, and works equally, if not better. And you don't get all the rubbish from you know, people trying to sell you goodness knows what.
Well, I get a lot of that, I'm not going to lie.
But
I think going back to the CRO thing and stuff like that, now going back, without going off on a tangent on, you know, bad advertising and stuff like that, we wanted to try and get it back to the CRO thing. Now, how do you, I mean, I know how you work, but it's for more for the audience. Now, someone like me comes and says, that's shit, and then before you know it, there's some more shit, and then we look at your analytics, you probably find there's even more shit under there as well. Is it a typical monthly retainer that you work on and do tackle the glaringly obvious stuff first and then just grind out and keep refining a website, if you like, keep polishing it up? I'm assuming that's how you guys work when you're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, initially, it's really about doing an assessment to the point that you walk away with a report that gives you some actionable things that you can do, and you pay for that. However long it takes to do, you pay for that. And then if we're then asked to actually action it, because I think at that point it's always good to give people a break to say, look, you know, we've interacted, it's been good, but you might have somebody who, for example, can do that part of it, and that's okay. But what I'm there to do is to help them understand the data and to turn it into something that gives them actions to take to improve their website, and they can come back to me. If it were a very, very big project, yeah, of course, you know, something monthly would be what was in order. But most of the time, it's more about saying, okay, here are the things to do. Maybe people have a budget. Maybe people, you know, want to work to, you know, to a particular budget, and they can't do it all in one go. But we can look at that document and go, right, okay, let's start with the technical stuff. But the fact of the matter is, Craig, is that every time you invest in something like CRO, you're going to get more sales, potentially, if you're an e-commerce store. You're going to get more signups if you're, you know, if you're a business that's looking for people to be in your mailing list. And you get to understand more about what your customers are doing and who they are. And your efforts are going to be focused, and it's going to bring you more conversions, which I think is really, really key. And it will get rid of some of the people who perhaps are time wasters.
Yeah.
It will kind of park them over there. And the important thing is it helps you to grow from the traffic that you already have, because you really need to have a good base of traffic, you know. So all of the stuff that you teach, all of the stuff that, you know, that your lives and things talk about, that's absolutely vital, because you've got to get that initial customer base and visitor base to work from. You know, this really starts to kick into its own once you start to get over, you know, 10,000 visitors a month.
Yeah.
So it isn't really, you know, because it's very, very hard to measure. You know, if we said at the beginning, conversions are, you know, a couple of percent, if you've only got 100 people coming to your website, you're going to have a very, very long time wait before you start to get that intelligence and information. So you need quite a big base.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, e-com, affiliate marketing, they're the types of people who potentially would be the types of people who benefit the most, because they've already done the work, they've already got the base, but now it's time to improve the conversion. And then when they start adding more content and they get more, the conversions stay at 2 or 3%, so they're getting more money as they grow their sites.
Yeah. But it makes perfect sense. But also, whilst I agree what you're saying, it's going to be more beneficial for affiliate and e-com, I think, you know, also remember, for the people out there that are doing informational websites like mine, it's probably still equally as important. Now, we have discussed off air, you know, it's always going to be harder to quantify what that does for me, because, you know, it's an informational website, so it's very hard to say, well, these buttons, you know, got my things up by 3% or 5%, whatever. But does that mean you shouldn't do it because it's hard to quantify? Absolutely not. And I think, you know, if you do have an informational website and you know it can be better and just better calls to action, you don't have to dig too deep. And I think a lot of people do that, like dig too deep and get lost in the data and don't actually do shit. I know my buttons need to be better. I know my call to actions need to be better. I know my website is not as good as it can be. And obviously, as I grow and get more traffic and everything else, I want to be the best I can possibly be in terms of without being stupid about it. And that's why it's easier to just go to you and say, Paul, can you just do this shit for me? Like, I don't even want to talk about it. And I think that's the great thing about you as well, that, you know, certainly from my point of view, I've came to you and said, right, I don't like the buttons and I don't like this, but you've done other things that I didn't particularly say, go do that. You just come up with ideas and said, check this, check that, what do you think of this, what do you think of that? And I think, you know, for, you know, any affiliate, anyone that a website owner, we want to work with guys like that and they can take the leads, because how many times have you, you know, and this is more for the audience, how many times have you went to a web guy and then the web guy's like, can you document exactly what you want so I don't get it wrong? And you're just like, fuck, you know, I know my website's shit, but I can't be asked. I don't know what to write in your document. Can you not come up with ideas? And that's what I like about you, Paul, is, you know, that whole, you just try shit out and, you know, it could have bombed. It could have been shit. I mean, I don't think I've ever said no to anything other than the picture that you put up. The makeup and stuff like that. And what was it?
It was a nice off day picture. Though. I thought it was good.
But I think everything you've basically come back, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I think one instance you came back with the kind of buttons. It was on my homepage and it had the big arrow. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know, like that. Can it be smaller? But I think, you know, you tried a couple of things out there and we got there very, very quickly, which is, you know, I'm just like, it was just a bit big.
You also said about, you know, you wanted a link to YouTube, you know, because, you know, one of your goals is you want to drive more subscribers. And one of the things that wasn't very clear on your site was there wasn't a button to drive people there. So we've put it at the highest profile place on your website. Yeah. And actually, if, you know, my next idea would be if that wasn't working as well as you wanted it to, we'd probably end up moving those other two buttons away somewhere else so that you only had the YouTube button, so that it only gave people one choice rather than three choices.
Yeah.
So, there's more that can be done to drive, you know, if that were what you ended up wanting to do. But it's an example, though.
Yeah, no, I think you put it there, and in fact, I'll pull my website up just so that we can show people while they're on the show or while they're watching what you've done. So that's the buttons there that Paul's talking about. Coaches speaking in YouTube now. Do you know what? Even off the top of my head just now, Paul, I would probably say I've got speaking in courses up there anyway.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it would be a bad idea to highlight that more, because that is obviously the main thing that I'm doing at present. So I'm not sure it would be a bad thing to remove the other two and just have, you know, see me on YouTube or find me on YouTube or something. But yeah, that's just an idea. But just to show you some of the stuff that Paul has done, you know, one thing I did obviously state was that I hated the buttons on the right hand side. They looked horrendous, but what you can see Paul done here is made buttons that you can obviously, when you do that, you hover over them, they stick out like a sore thumb, and they're nice, clean, rounded, and a hell of a lot more modern looking. So, you know, I think, you know, it's all of these kind of small tweaks. Also, sorry, going back to that page, I had, because I think we had you on a live and we were discussing some of the stuff that was potentially wrong with my website. And, you know, bear in mind, guys, Paul didn't design the website as such. He's coming in and there's all these kind of, I'm not going to say flaws because I really do like the website, but I had this thing here where there's a whole, this was all blank. It didn't have a picture of me here. And obviously, one of Paul's suggestions was very quickly, that's a lot of lost space there. What can we do? And obviously, we've got odys.global on there, me, whatever. It just takes up the space better. And I think that was also quite important because it did look kind of bland and boring.
And again, and it's about you. It's your site at the end of the day. You are the product, and so you should be on every page, you know, talking about you and what you're doing. But yeah, it's, and we wanted some different things to kind of, you know, have a good clear call to action as to get tickets. Craig's thoughts were that the ticket buttons were a bit uninspiring. And so having something that actually, you know, turns green, you know, we associate green with go. So, you know, let's make this a go. That's why we kind of, you know, did it like that.
It's I think, you know, for what you've done so far, you know, it's nice changes that are obviously going to, you know, streamline my website, so to speak. And I think that's what we want at the end of the day. It's you know, nothing radical. I don't want the website pulled apart and to have a different look.
Were very specific about that, weren't you? Because you said, I like my website. It's quick. It does, you know, I don't have any speed issues with it. So I don't want you to come along and basically put a new theme on it that slows it down by half, because I think that's one of the big facets. And so that's really important to know, because you already knew that as an expert, you know the importance of speed. I'll guarantee you there are plenty of people out there who wouldn't even know that was even a factor.
Yeah, I think, but what was also fair in that conversation with you is, as I said to you, do I need a new website? Do I not? Is there a better template I can use? Yeah. Is there not? And you said, well, do you know what? I don't think your template's actually that bad for what you're doing. It was obviously, you know, I was having a look at Oxygen and Elementor. I was asking online, you know, various people at the point. And, you know, I think for you to come and say, do you know what, that we can actually work with what you've got is a good thing for me, you know, not just for my bank balance, but also I actually liked it. And, you know, I think, again, when you've got a website that you like, it's those subtle changes that make all the difference. You know, and I know people say, oh, come on, it's only a few buttons here and there, but these small things and constantly tweaking them, for me, is what makes a website, you know, set itself apart from the competition.
It does, and I think the last thing to sort of say on that is that it's very, very easy to chuck the baby out with the bathwater and start all over again. But sometimes you can make a bad problem worse, because you could have, you could end up getting rid of all the good things and you didn't know that you had them. And then start off with something that's even worse. It's slower. It doesn't have even the call to action that you had before. And those things can go as well. So it's better to do iterative changes when you've already got a site that's showing some degree of success than just going, right, we'll just do something completely new. Because, yes, it could work, but it also might not. And the fact is if you don't have any data to back it up, could be quite dangerous. You know, you could end up halving your income.
Yeah, and that's not good for the old heart rate and stuff like that. You know, when crazy web designers do something, you're just like, oh, fuck, you know, what the hell has went on? And I've seen that happen a lot of times. You know, I've worked in SEO for long enough. I've never been the web developer guy, but worked with web developers and you're just like, oh my God, what the hell have you done? Yeah, I've been in a few migrations or rebrands and stuff like that, where things for big, big companies where, you know, it was considerable sums of money that were actually lost because of these fuck-ups, basically. Yes. It can be dangerous in the wrong hands. But before we do wrap up, I am going to share my screen again, not to show a picture of Paul in any makeup as such, but...
not this time, anyway.
There could be makeup on there, I'm not so sure.
comment.
This is where you're going to find Paul if you want to talk about CRO. You can obviously find him on Facebook, LinkedIn, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But paulhogden.com is the website for Paul if you want him in the consultancy role or you know, whatever. You know, Paul is there to help, and this is Paul's website here. It will obviously talk you through the CRO process, what he does. There's a blog and obviously ways to contact Paul on there as well, and obviously a little bit about him if you want to understand more about the man himself.
Why I am the way I am.
just ignore this big picture here. Stuff like that could put you off. You could do better for your own and get a better looking chap on there. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah.
know of anyone? Perhaps I can find that picture of you.
with the makeup on.
Yes, of course.
we can't miss that. But that
weekend
is
clothing.
But sadly, we are out of time now. But thank you very much for coming on and giving us a bit of a pointer in the right direction in terms of what you do and obviously what you've done for me. And as I say, I think it just shows, I just wanted to obviously talk to you about it and show other people that there are guys out there where you can just say, Paul, sort me out, man. I'm really shit at this stuff. Please help me. I don't have much input to give, but I know what I want kind of in my head and please go away and do it. Paul is that man. So check him out and get your site sorted. But once again, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Cheers.